The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh, new, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 6th of June, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And to start the show this morning, I've got just a tiny bit of housekeeping. I want to start by sharing condolences on behalf of the class of 1992. Farrell Goff and his family on the unfortunate passing of his wife, Monette Anita Goff. I don't even know what to say, but we want to share our condolences. We want to let Farrell and his family know that they are in our thoughts and in our prayers, and to reach out to members of your class if you need anything, if you need anything. Again, condolences, Farrell Goff. On a slightly brighter note, I have to send a shout out to a good buddy of mine. I want to send a shout out to Key Vano. Key Vano is one of the hardest working students in the Bahamas, and currently I'm asking everybody to let's gather up our love and our prayers for Key Vano as he prepares for surgery this week. As he is preparing for surgery, Kivano is a trooper. He is a little soldier as he pushes on through some of these medical issues that he's dealing with right now. Again, he's dealing with them like a champion. I want to say thank you to Kivano. I had the pleasure of meeting him while I was procuring mangoes off of a mango tree by a wash house on Farrington Road. It was a pleasure to meet you, Kivano. And on the last note, before we get into our sand dollar giveaways, I just want to send out a small message. I was using smoke signals, but the wind was too strong. Someone, please fix BTC in the east. That's all I have to say. The complaints continue, BTC, from your customers and users in the eastern districts of the Bahamas. There is something wrong. Please fix it. Thank you very much. All right. Let's start off with some sand dollar news. This Thursday and Friday, June 8th and 9th, central bank representatives will be giving out sand dollars at Super Value in the Golden Gate Shopping Plaza. That's Thursday and Friday, June 8th and 9th. All you have to do is show your sand dollar enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend 18 or more in sand dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. For more details, visit any of the sand dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. 302-9880. Now, before I get into the questions, I'm going to give you the numbers and I'm going to introduce my guest, because the questions today are related to the conversation that we are going to have today. So the numbers to call to be a part of today's giveaways: 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you are calling from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. So joining me in studio today is Mr. Mark Palmer. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning, Erin. Mango madness.
But look here, you see the shirt I had on? You make me put on my Perry Christie Screwface shirt.
Beautiful.
You come in here with all these mangoes causing me to have to share mm-hmm. with people today. And I was prepared to... Anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Palmer, for your gift. And joining me from the National Congress of Trade Unions of the Bahamas is Mr. Daniel Thompson. Good morning, Mr. Thompson.
Good morning, Erin. Good morning, Palmer.
How you do?
I'm extremely well.
Good
to be here.
So, guys, let's get into our sand dollar giveaways. Every day for the next 4 months, we will be giving away sand dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30 in sand dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address to transfer the funds to your digital wallet if you get the right answer. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once. Producer, let's take this call very quickly. They can't answer the trivia because I haven't asked it yet. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Grant.
Good morning. How you do?
How you doing?
Good, good.
All right. I tell you the truth now. I tell our police that you better say better call the cookers. They ain't coming. I cash out almost 2 weeks, I can tell you that.
You've been waiting 2 weeks for them, for BTC to get there?
That's right. They came here, they sent me a whole second-hand motor, and then I got to call them back. That's another week. Thank God for Erica. Thank God for Miss Cooper.
Well, okay.
Get them to call me.
Okay, I see.
So call her, that she don't play.
Miss Cooper at Erica?
Yeah. All you gotta ask for, yeah, Miss Cooper or Mr. McCarty. No, McCarty gone there now.
Yeah, but he works in the communications.
Okay, yeah,
department.
Call Miss Cooper.
Yeah, yeah.
She get a job done.
And I don't want anybody to suggest that in some way I was trying to use like a form of nepotism.
No, man, you're entitled to that. You just the freedom of speech. Apologize for expression.
No, I said. By going to McCartney. You know, by going through McCartney. I don't want to do that.
No. Well, McCartney, well, I thought I was in his portfolio. That's why I called his name.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
I know Miss Cooper ID with her many times.
Yeah.
Decades.
I think McCartney is in communications.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know that. Now I know.
Absolutely.
Is Smith still there?
I'm not sure, you know, but probably.
Okay.
I mean, he's a talented man. I don't see why they would lose him. You know, let him go.
Okay. Well, Aaron, I want to qualify because I want to give my condolence to the one of the freedom writers of our Constitution, good old George Smith.
Okay.
Condolence goes out to Frank Smith, my former MP, the best MP in the Freetown area.
Mm-hmm.
And George Smith and the rest, well, your brother, Philip.
Yeah.
And the rest of the family.
Now, when you say Freetown area, where that is?
Uh-oh, you want me to get my location right?
No, I'm just saying.
That's Camp Road.
That's Camp Road. No, because I had to stick a pin. Because I swear I heard you say that Frank Smith was the best MP ever in that area.
That's right.
You don't remember A.D. Hannah who didn't have to nominate?
Yeah.
But that's the only boy who won on nomination day.
Reason why I say that, I couldn't vote back then.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah,
the best
voter.
One you could
Frank.
Vote for.
And the other guy in the effort was Richard Lightbury.
Okay.
Mm. The best effort MP is Richard Lightbury. He also could face people. He'll call me and say, Peter, you need anything?
Let me tell you something. Mr. Lightbury made some strong and I think dangerous comments when he was in the House, you know. But it appears as if when he's out of the House, he's a pretty amiable guy.
I guess he's going to go back to being a private citizen, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't just want to go back to being a private citizen. Like Frank, I wish Frank could run next election. If Frank don't want run, my MP, he lousy.
But listen, I gotta.
Okay, what else are you talking about? No. I'm asking, what else are you talking about?
Thank you, Safta.
What else are you talking
How
about?
How old is Frank Pumpkin Eater?
I think me and Frank should be in set, a little younger than me.
Okay, because you almost caused me put on my Perry Christie screw face T-shirt today. Have you seen it?
Say what?
It's one of the campaign merchandise. Merchandising.
You don't tell me that, man. You can sell it to me.
I can't sell it to you, man. This is first of all, it's a treasure. Second of all, I can't sell it to you. Third of all, it's the only image I've ever seen of Christie upset. Like, not even upset. No, it's not upset. It's a stern face.
It's Got a finger what?
It's been the, you know, when the people walking past your mango tree and you right there next to your mango tree and they still trying to pick mango?
I thought that's the finger one.
No, that is not that one. Anyway, Pumpkin Eater, I am talking labor.
Talk about, what else you talk about?
I'm talking labor today. I have Mr. Daniel Thompson from the National Congress of Trade Unions of the Bahamas. But you got to let me ask some trivia questions. Yeah.
No, let's have a comment on it. I enjoyed the Labor Day.
Yeah.
Though it's raining, I appreciate those who spent time streaming. I was getting that rain.
Yes.
But I remember I was supposed to call you. How was the family day?
It was very good.
All right. So.
But you got to let me, I got 107 very interesting questions to ask Mr. Thompson this morning, Pumpkin Eater. You got to
All right.
Ask
I just want to say he is off for tomorrow. Have a good day.
Yes. No, Pumpkin Eater, thank you very much for calling, though.
All right. You too.
All right. Have a great morning. Right. Okay. Producer, I'm getting ready to ask these questions. Are you guys ready to call in? The first question for the day, the Sand Dollar Giveaway. In what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed? In what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed? It's a very easy question. You can Google it and find the answer, but the only way to play is if you already have an enabled digital wallet from one of the 7 local wallet providers. Now, first question, in what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed? Every waker in the Bahamas should know this. Employed, self-employed, barely employed, underemployed, you should know this answer. But good morning, gentlemen, and let's get into our conversation. Mr. Daniel Thompson, representative from the National Congress of Trade Unions of the Bahamas, the NCTUB. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
I was supposed to have you on before the Labor Day parade in the middle of Labor Week so we could discuss some of the activities planned, but the budget communication cut that short. And so I have a series of questions I want to ask you. And I think we could start with Labor Week and the Labor Day parade. And then since Pumpkin Eater started it, and then we'll get back into the first question. But how did the union, how did the Congress celebrate and commemorate Labor Week and Labor Day? And what did you think about the Labor Day parade?
Okay, firstly, the Labor Day service began, the Labor Week began with a launch at the New Covenant Baptist Church, where our president, our acting president, Mr. Dwayne Woods, launched the Labor Week.
Yeah.
And then we, on that Monday, which was Whit Monday holiday, we visited with Rosalind Fox.
Yeah.
We visited her and we spent a 2-hour sit-down session with her, which was very informative as she told a story about her father and his, from a historical perspective, as well from a family perspective. And then there were two initiatives we launched. One, a certificate training program on labor advocacy. We spoke to that. And then the second item had to do with an initiative to rename Blake Road as Burma Road, begin that lobbying campaign.
Hold on. You want to name Blake Road as... So what's the significance of that? Because I already applied my own significance to it.
Well, you know, as we always think, it was thing, we sing, we talk about Burma Road, but the question is, where is Burma Road?
Mm-hmm.
And there is... Nobody knows specifically.
Yeah.
Some say it's Blake Road, some say it's Nassau Street. And so we are advocating that the Blake Road be renamed. And so we met this week with the Ministry of Works to begin that initiative.
All right. Producer, that means you got to look for, on the board, Burma Road for me and play it right from the beginning, because that's one mystery down. Then we can find out why they say, don't mind Livingston, Josiah's, the JP people. We can find that out too. Okay, so Blake Road is potentially, or is...
We have begun the lobbying. We hope that the government will, within the next few years, name that, rename it into Blake Road.
Right. Now,
into Burma Road.
Right. Did any protest take place on that road?
Well, that was a part where the march took place.
Place on that road.
As they left the airport.
Well,
great. To head down to Bay Street.
That's what I thought. Okay, awesome. Wow.
But some historians indicate that it may also involve Nassau Street, per se.
Yeah.
When we spoke with the historical persons, but so we feel that we're gonna there needs to be a demarcation for Burma Road.
Right. Is it possible that they march all the way from Blake Road, the airport, to Nassau Street? Well, isn't there an important union on Nassau Street?
Yes, the taxi cab union on Nassau Street. Yes.
There you go. Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
So why was it called Burma Road?
Well, that was the name of the road at then, but the name would have been changed to diminish its historical significance, obviously.
Yeah.
For
why
the
colonizers
of those during those times.
So why Blake? Why did they call it Blake Road?
I don't know why. I don't know the...
After somebody...
Probably after someone. But listen, this means I got to call my number one amateur historian, Mr. Cecil Newry.
Cecil Newry.
Maybe we need to find out why was the name Blake chosen. That is... Thank you very much, sir. That is fascinating. Okay. So, what are your thoughts on this year's parade? And I had some questions out here. There are two things that I saw that I thought were of... great significance, right? The Hebrew Israelites were participating in this year's Labor Day parade, but it's not just that. They had a massive, impressive presence on the parade.
100 males.
Now, how many of those members were Bahamian?
Well, I didn't verify the...
Yeah.
I didn't see the passport, so we didn't... We know that we invited the Bahamian branch.
Okay.
They are seeking observership with the Congress, and we invited them to...
Now, what does that mean, observership?
In other words, the Congress consists of organizations as well as unions.
Right.
Such as, like, you have other Congresses have the police association. They're not unionized. The prison association, they cannot unionize.
Right.
But they can
be a part of the Congress.
As organizations. You know, and because they're workers.
Right, so they have observer status in the organization.
They have observer status, yes, but they cannot engage in the industrial action.
All right.
And so unions have those type of organizations. And so it was in that vein that they sought some type of relationship with Congress. And the Congress agreed and obliged and invited them to participate.
All right, what is the premise of the relationship? Why did they say they wanted to?
They're workers. They represent this group represent workers of the country, and so we felt that there was no issue because they were workers, notwithstanding their religious persuasions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because all of us are Israelites, if you ask me. We all are Jews.
Wait, look, yeah,
so
we're
not gonna get into the ecclesiastical debate.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, but my concern is I'm not sure if religious groups or political parties should be a part of the march. And so my question is, so it's not about, like, if I say yes, if one religion participates, then all religions should have access. But should any religious group or any political group have an overt, demarked and defined presence in the Labor Day
parade?
Well,
I put it this way. Workers are free to demonstrate their support of Labor Day in whichever type of way they wish. Now, traditionally, many workers have marched with their political colors. And while some argue that it is Labor Day and not a political session, but if I, as a worker, choose to march with my political organization because of my belief and affinity with that organization for what they would have done for workers in the country, that's also my right.
True.
Right? And if so, workers came who wished to march and wear their religious paraphernalia or their lodge materials, whatever. That is...
Hold on. Right. People in the lodge march in the Labor Day parade as well?
Well, they didn't march in this, but I've seen them march in different labor-related
activities.
Events.
Okay, yeah.
I've seen them. I've marched in the back of them on several occasions. So people, in my mind, people are free to really associate as they please. And I think the political association is important because of the bridge or the linkage between various political entities and the labor movement.
Now, I would say the same thing, but sort of in the opposite. I would say because of the linkages.
The labor movement.
Right, no, but because of the relationships and the connections that although we have the right to associate how we want, for the interests of the labor movement as a whole, I would ask these groups to step back. We do have the right to do it. And so my question is, does it negatively or positively impact the movement as a whole, or does it strengthen the movement?
I think it strengthens the movement, because the reality is that if you look at the political scenery, many of our labor leaders end up in the political realm. So and I'll tell you why the two are very closely related, almost unable to separate, because for most labor organizations, their boss is the government. So whatever they do, it is seen to be political. And that's why you have that mesh. Labor union leaders are very political because their bosses are the government.
I got you. One second, we could get right back into that. Got some text here. The number to call if you're trying to play the giveaway is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for people in the Family Islands. And texter, the answers y'all are sending via text are incorrect, but you could still call in with the correct answer at those numbers. Mark?
So do we have, what I'm interested in, how many workers are unionized?
But before we go there, let's sort of stick in that conversation. Because Mr. Thompson, in Toronto right now, they're preparing for Toronto Pride, right? Mm-hmm. And there's been a historic complaint in Toronto Pride that the police and the LGBT police associations have a massive overt presence in Pride. A lot of the members' organizations of Pride have boycotted, have refrained from participating because they say, hey, we march and we protest. We use Pride as an opportunity to protest and demonstrate our displeasure with the police force. So it's disrespectful to have the police force on the march with us to be a overt participating member of the Pride event. In the same way, I ask again, having political parties on the parade march while unions are still engaged in negotiation with political parties or at an impasse, right, with political parties, could be seen by some members as problematic.
Well, we're not engaged with discourse with political parties. We engage with discourse with governments, whatever political party may be in charge. So that's the first thing.
I feel you, but these governments don't ever, this particular government has never stopped telling us that they're the New Day government, and we know who the New Day government is.
Yes, and I would stick a pin right there, Aaron, because the reality is that this government has been very supportive of the labor movement, you know, not just through our memorandum of understanding, but also in terms of how they have presented themselves in dealing with workers. That's the reality. We cannot argue that.
I mean, I could argue it because I'm hearing complaints on social media from people who say that they are displeased with the handling of matters. But let's get into the MOU that was signed at the end of May 2021 by the NCTUB.
Correct.
And the PLP while in opposition.
Yes.
How is that unfolding? Has the PLP lived up to its commitments and its timelines attached?
Well, I think there's been a very serious effort to fulfill the mandates of the MOU.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an architect of that as well, so I was intimately involved in drafting it from the NCTUB's perspective. You see, we just had the minimum wage increase.
Uh-huh.
And what has happened, one of the major problems we were having was the fact that unions couldn't sign industrial agreements. This government...
Well, what do you mean unions couldn't sign? Is it that the government wouldn't come to the table to sign it, or that they were prevented by law from signing it?
No, there wasn't that sense of collegiality and support for unions. And so since this government came into place, as the Prime Minister indicated, they've already signed 18 industrial agreements. Some of these agreements were being discussed for years. And so if only in that area they have been very successful. What they did, the minute they moved in, is they created a unit that is manned by former trade unionists. and they are there now to perform.
In the government.
In the government.
Man, Mr. Thompson, I you see me smiling, but I can be honest with you, I'm deeply concerned by that as well. But listen, we have to go to a break. Producer, let's prep for the break. Before I go to the break, let me repeat the telephone numbers to call in for the giveaway question and the giveaway question for today. Remember, we're giving away sand dollars, $30 in sand dollars to two winners every day for the next 4 months. Today's question, in what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed? You can Google it and find the answer. In what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 if you're calling from the Family Islands. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Mr. Daniel Thompson is joining us from the
National Congress of Trade Union.
I wanted to say one of the biggest congresses in the country, but we have to get into this conversation on the other side of the break.
Multiple congresses.
Pardon? Yes, sir. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
Going down Robinson Road, going down Carmichael Road again. Lick nobody, don't lick nobody, don't lick nobody, don't lick nobody, don't lick nobody. Bullfrog dressed up in soldier clothes, went to the river to shoot some crow. Crow fell fire and they all fly away, Lord. Bullfrog get vexed and he cried all day.
Almost there.
Zach, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grand Bahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
It's that time again!
Sign up now for the Michael Scooter and Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, taking place July 24 to the 30th at the Hope Center and the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Call 601-4842 for more information. Powered by the Bryce Newbold Foundation. It's game time!
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The phone lines are light today. I had a couple of texters answering the question, but you guys got the answer incorrect. Plus, If you're going to answer from the text line, you got to give me your information to be able to answer people. I'm trying to do it as a call-in to make it flow more smoothly. Again, the question is, in what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed? In what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed? The numbers to call, 323-622-3232-5-4316, 325-4259-242-300-5720 from the Family Islands. Now, I got a quick text here. Morning, there is no Burma Road. The name was taken from the British building a road in India. They marched from Oaksfield to Bay Street, not from Blake Road, named after a former governor. Mm. Why do you think they marched from Oaksfield? Because we used to have an airport in Oaksfield?
Yeah, there was the original airport in Oaksfield, but they were also building the one.
Mm-hmm. Come closer to the mic for me, please.
There was an airport in Oaksfield, where is the sports center located.
Yeah, but this is about protests around the construction of the new airport.
The new airport, yes.
Okay, thank you. And they texted, you got to leave me some citations. Tell me where to go to find the information that you're presenting to me as true. All right. Another text here. Yes, text to God, don't like ugly. I still ain't sharing this mango with nobody. I would say no, it wasn't formed in 1955. The BFL was not formed in 1955. Okay, so let's get back into the MOU with the PLP while they were in opposition. I don't like that. I don't like political parties signing memorandum of understandings with labor unions while they're in opposition.
Well, Aaron, the reality is that the labor unions, not just the Bahamas, but throughout the world, you know, they have always been involved in governance.
Right,
true. If you think of Poland, the labor union leader became the president. So that's not nothing new, the involvement of the labor union. And the reality is because the labor union, like I say, our bosses are the government. We do the same thing. We do the same thing that politicians do. We represent workers.
Yeah.
And so a labor unionist who speaks on behalf of the worker will be perceived as being a politician.
I feel you, that's a bad thing. I mean, sorry, in my opinion, that's a bad thing.
Why?
I'm about to say,
it doesn't paint Pacific Color. It could be on any side of the political divide.
No, right. This is a nonpartisan critique. This is a nonpartisan critique. Because it appears to me as if unions have assumed the political culture as opposed to shifting the political culture to create a safer environment for workers.
Or the unions have learned how to use and manipulate the political culture to ensure that the workers survive. How about that?
Well, I want to say, is the horse pulling the cart or is the cart pulling the horse? Which one is which?
Ultimately, if the workers are uplifted, then the union would have achieved the objective through the political machinery that exists.
Okay. Is there an obligation that unions and union leaders have that's larger than any individual member or their individual union or Congress? Is an obligation larger than that that has to be balanced?
Yes, because our membership consists of persons from across the political divide. That's the first thing. So there's no red or black or gold trade union per se.
Mm-hmm.
Individual leaders are free to have their own affiliation. You take UTA, a very small union. In our union, we have had 3 persons who have run for political office in our union, a small union as ours.
Absolutely.
Right? And our industrial agreement ensures that they have that freedom to make their choices. But we still remain, when it comes to their job as president, they remain neutral. The workers are premier in what they do.
Looking in from the outside, because my tenure in the working class has been very short, I still feel very concerned about the union movement as a whole's ability to hold the government to account. And not to force their hand, but to hold them to account to what they have already committed to and promised. I see you get the red line flashing. Thank you for engaging me in that hot discussion just now. Let's get to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Are you ready to answer the question?
Yes, I am.
Good stuff. And you gave the producer your information?
Yes, I did.
Good stuff. Question is, in what year was the Bahamas Federation of Labor formed?
1949.
Yes, sir. You got the correct answer.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. This is a question and an answer that everybody in the Bahamas should know. I would say that Sir Randall Fox is instrumental in leading the Bahamas into a liberated state, without a doubt.
And was he a politician or a trade unionist? You see where the interface
comes. But I would...
Yes, he was a trade unionist.
I would argue that he was the last of those who found the balance between the politics and trade unionists.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. Because there are... We have many trade unionists that exist even today. And most of them I know, though they may have their private individual political stance, they represent the workers, no matter who is in power.
And I want you to know that I've been to COB four times, and if they let me back in, I'll drop out a fifth time in solidarity with the workers.
But Randall Fox, he was actually Labour Party, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't PLP or UBP.
That's political.
He was BFL.
And that was in the last, remember, we also had Coalition plus Labour again.
Yeah.
In very recent election. So Labour has always had its head there.
Which one?
Coalition, the Labour, went with at the time of Dr. Bernard Nordage.
And the CDR.
Yeah.
Is it the CDR?
Yes. He combined with Labour at one point to challenge for the election.
Okay. I know the CDR party. My uncle and my cousin were both candidates.
So Labour will always be engaged in this type of thing.
All right. Producer, I got a new call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Same call.
Same caller, producer. Okay, we got a new caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good morning to your guest.
Yes,
you understand me? Now, when I listen to your guest speak, trying to put a round circle almost into a square hole, it depresses me as a Bahamian, or as a Bahamian laborer, not politics, Bahamian laborer. Unions and governments are like day and night. The union is looking to see what they can get from the government, and the government always looking to see what they can withhold from the union. That was the reason why unions were formed in the first place, because governments and an oligarch were depressing workers. So I definitely disagree and agree with you, Aaron, that politics should not be concerned with Labor Day marches, because that is labor, regardless if you're FNM, PLP, DNA, or COI. Mm-hmm. That is just labor. You understand? When I hear persons like your guest trying to merge that kind of thing, it depresses me as a behemoth. That is the reason why this country is at the point where it is now. We got too much people who bread is buttered, because his bread is buttered. He ain't looking at the masses and the suffering that we're going through. You understand? It really, really, really depresses me, man. Call it what it is. It's time. We have had 50 years of foolishness, man. Let's call it what it is, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, caller. All right. Producer, we done with that call? There we go. Okay, I think we got another. I'm not sure what's happening, because I haven't given out the second question of the day yet. We got a caller on the line, producer? Okay, let's throw the second question out for the audience, and then, Mr. Thompson, I'm going to let you respond to the caller if you would wish. The second question for today, which union was at the center of the general strike of 1958? Which union was at the center of the general strike of 1958? And if you were listening to the show earlier, that the name of that union was mentioned in our conversation, if you were listening to the show. What union was at the center of the general strike of 1958?
Well, Aaron, I would simply respond to the caller that he's speaking of idealism in the ideal perspective. The reality is unions and politicians are intertwined. They engage in similar activities for the good or for the bad, not just in the Bahamas, but also throughout the world. Look in the United States, the labor unions are supportive of certain administrations.
Okay, I can acknowledge the historical and contemporary practice, right? But in a small place like the Bahamas, what mechanisms do we have to manage the conflicts of interest that arise in this quote-unquote tight-knit kind of relationship between politicians and labor unions? And I'll use John Pinder as an example. John Pinder went from a public service union leader to director of labor,
mm-hmm.
right? During his tenure, we had some very serious things happen, mm-hmm. like what I would call the breaching of workers' rights during the pandemic, mm-hmm. requests for severance and to be paid out. The government worked with the hotels to pause that legislation.
We had a lot of meetings to try and address those issues.
Right?
Yeah.
Then, in the midst of that, Pinder is campaigning internally for a nomination in the party, and during his tenure is publicly campaigning for a seat, having gotten the nomination mm-hmm. from a party. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that the lack of management or oversight of these relationships between labor and politicians has created an environment that's detrimental to workers and has allowed their fundamental rights to have been breached. Put that aside.
Whether real or perceived,
what are the mechanisms that the union is using to manage that space and ensure that that doesn't happen?
I think it has to do with any type of relationship. In life, every relationship we have, there can be potential conflicts. You take the pastor who's working for the government, he will be conflicted in his role as a pastor.
I agree, he should do something about it.
So the mechanisms in place for labor unionists yeah. is to ensure that they operate in an ethical fashion. And our ethics ought to control how
labor leaders holding each other to account.
And that is one of the value of a Congress. Because what the Congress does, it helps to rein in these leaders and tell them, listen here, keep that apart. Yes, yeah. you may be a supporter of any political party, but when it comes to your workers,
mm-hmm.
you must make sure that they are foremost in whatever you do. When it comes to your workers, as a union leader, you should speak first. On behalf of your workers.
Absolutely. Let me go to the call, Mark, and then mm-hmm. when we get off the call, we go to you, Mark. Good morning, caller. Are you answering the question?
Green.
Or are you contributing to the conversation?
Yeah, of course. It's
yes,
something
sir.
That affected me. And so, you know, I just would like to hear the gentleman to comment. You know, he said the workers in the union, but I've never really benefited from the union, just the little increments here and there. But they seem to thrive off of the... I work in the hotel industry. In engineering,
mm-hmm.
in the generator room, around haphazard materials and very dangerous paradigms, right? So what I'm saying is, when I left the hotel, so I spent about maybe 20 years or so, 19 years, but, you know, I had the credits from Coots and Cohen, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you would get your credit statements. And so this might have nothing, but they always say the pension fund has nothing to do with the union. But when I wanted to get an early pension from 55, so I'd be 59 August. So what they told me was that 3 years, the hotel pension fund didn't pay contributions for me. The rest is paid. So those 3 years caused me to be to be exempted from being able to get the pension at 55. So what happened was I have to get a lawyer, okay?
Yes.
And then I got a KYC or a employment history printed from NIB, which shows no discontinuation of my employment for those 3 years that the union on Howard was saying that I was not, the pension, they said the pension fund is not paid. But then why should the onus be on me, the small man, to go get a lawyer for some transnational company for me to go get my money at the age of 55, which they know I might die before 65. So I'm looking at all of these, stop saying, they have a sweetheart deal with the government. If it falls on me now to go, because I want my money now, so mm-hmm. it falls on me. So what do I do in an instance like that? Who can pay for a lawyer? What I'm saying is, why do they set up this paradigm in which I need a lawyer? Come on, man. It's just blatant. I can use my itinerary from National Insurance. They can see that they made a mistake, and I don't know who's responsible for the pension fund. I don't know if the union is, but this is something that they implemented. But I'm being shortcomed, and I could use the money now because it's actually about 18 or 19 years, but they helped me list it. For the 3 years that they have missing is what I need to make up to get the pension at 55. So I don't end up with the union, man. What you there for? This scenario I'm talking about is very common. Just comment on it because I have to go through a lot just to get the little bit of money and pay a lawyer. Everything is a lawyer and a doctor now.
Thank you, 52. Thank you much.
I'd like to respond in a way. One of the things that our Congress, the NCTUB, is doing, because what I'm hearing is issues of management, issues of training.
Mm-hmm.
If trade, and you know, I'm a management professor at the University of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and if trade unionists understand basic management concept of accountability, fiduciary responsibilities, a lot of our issues will be solved. And sometimes these are not political issues. These are issues internal. Of management, internal issues that we need to know how to run an effective union organization so that we're able to meet our financial responsibility. And that is what we are doing now, is preparing a training module to prepare our leaders, present and future, how to be good managers of the resources. Because remember, unions are one of the richest organizations in the country in terms of their asset base.
Mm-hmm.
And unions, are most of them, flowing out of those unions, are many trade, are many credit unions. So yeah. They have a major contribution to the national development. If we train our leaders, there'll be better unions in the country.
Absolutely. Mr. Palmer?
So, I understand that argument between the politics and the, but that's really the process. Ultimately, you got to look at what is the outcome for the workers, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things said. And I know there was that breakaway from your organization, and one of the things that new Congress were talking about was upholding the government what their commitments were, the government commitments to the unions, as well as a livable wage. So clearly from their perspective, they must have thought that that was something that their old organization wasn't really addressing enough. So I'd be interested to hear whether, because that livable wage is an important thing, right?
Yes.
And what's your organization doing? I've been
dying to ask you that question. What's been the impact of the split and the formation of the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress? Did all of the members who said they were going to leave, and how has that impacted your Congress?
First of all, I would say that people are free to associate with any group they wish. Mm-hmm. And so people are free. And trade unions, it's like the church. You can, the door's free to enter in, and you're free to leave whenever you please. Because there were disagreement and there was incongruency in thoughts, there was a division. Of course, we lost more than half of our affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we have 5 affiliates that still remain with the Congress. And it didn't pack us severely. But notwithstanding that, after 1 year, our president, Mr. Dwayne Woods, has been able to work very closely with the affiliates. And, you know, sometimes, you know, like the saying goes, let the church roll on.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have the 5 united, we are very united and very focused.
I will ask you a very hard question. Is this real success, or is your Congress benefiting from the placement of Evans and other former members affiliated in the government service?
I think all workers have benefited from the labor consultancy team that mm-hmm. exists at the Department of the Public Service. All.
Okay.
Because in our negotiation currently with BTVI, labor sits across the table with us, providing counsel and guidance through the entire process. So we all are benefiting.
All right. Earlier,
but coming back to that livable wage, I think we haven't.
Where
really
are you on the livable wage?
Well, I know that is being through the National Tripartite Council, and NCTUB has its 2 representatives on that, and there is discourse. But they were involved in communication with the government to get this increased to 260 in the first instance.
I got you. Now, I argue the migrant crisis is exacerbated, if not driven, by what is primary issue, a labor crisis. Do we have a labor crisis in the country? What is the labor movement, the body of unions and Congresses, doing to ensure that more jobs are filled by qualified and able Bahamians.
And when you speak of migration, I suspect you're speaking of both legal and illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think that the illegal migration and the trade union movement are two different things.
The migrant crisis is exacerbated by a labor crisis. Migrants are coming to fill jobs that Bahamians aren't. What is this labor space doing to ensure that more jobs can be filled by Bahamians, even if they are not ethically or legally obligated to serve that function?
So what the labor movement does is we watch the scenery. So we watch, notwithstanding the government's policy of engaging expatriates in a certain process, the movement now sits and watches this process. And every quarter, we meet with the Minister of Labor and Immigration, if there are suspected infractions or issues, they are brought to him, and I've seen him got on the phone, made some calls, and addressed those matters immediately. So it's because of that collaborative nature of this administration that can happen.
All right.
And it happens on a quarterly basis.
No, man, I got you. So, but even with all of the support, the intersectionality, the working with each other, we still have a situation. And so the question is, do we have enough trained Bahamians to fill these spaces? And can the labor movement fill a gap by providing access to continuing education services and training for people who can potentially be members of the union?
Very good answer to that. It's two things. One, the labor movement is now engaged in discourse with the government with regards to the apprentices program. And that apprenticeship program will fill in a major gap that exists. That is currently happening. Secondly, when you speak of employment and training, we have the Great Institute of BTVI. BTVI provides a cadre of training initiatives that my members are engaging in training skill and producing skilled workers for the Bahamian economy.
Absolutely.
And that's how we're involved.
Mr. Thompson, I got to get you back on again next week to continue this conversation, because I got a question here. Do unions have attorneys retained or on staff to resolve labor matters on behalf of its members, covered by the dues that have been paid in?
Any sensible trade union will have an attorney on staff. We're negotiating with BTVI now, and every meeting our attorney sits and labor consultant sits with us.
Are they available to represent members?
Yes, our attorney represents any issue, but then we are able as labor advocates to also represent them. But when it's beyond us, we bring in our attorneys.
Absolutely. I am so sorry we are out of time. This conversation was just getting hot. To the texter, last four numbers, 8076. You won the second prize today. The answer is the taxi union. The taxi cab union was the union at the center of the 1958 general strike. Stay tuned to my two winners. We're going to send that money to you today. As soon as I can get to my Sun Cash phone, I'll be on it. Mr. Thompson, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to continue this conversation.
Anytime.
I'm going to try and schedule it for Tuesday so Mr. Palmer could continue along with us. It's called Burma Road, and we're riding it today. You guys have a great day, but most importantly, stay tuned, because Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. They all fly away, Lord. Who's wrong if they say?